And begin reading it verse number 10 through verse 16 for the concluding message in this series on the book of Hebrews. This is sermon number 10. There's of course 13 chapters in there, but some of these subjects and themes overlap, and so I'll conclude with this one today from this passage of scripture, Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses the 13th chapter, verse 10 through 16. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The message I would entitle today in this concluding series is, are you living for time or eternity? In these verses, the writer begins by referring to the old Jewish sacrifices. These were offered upon the altar, but the bodies of these animals were taken outside the camp and burned. The Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is saying here in the book of Hebrews, was likewise taken outside of the city of Jerusalem, and there he was crucified. According to John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, verses 15 through 18, but they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Wherefore they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. In these verses that we look at today, there is a sequence of practical truth and teaching. And as I bring to you this message this morning, the question will force itself upon you. Are you living for time? Are you living for the right now? Or are you living for eternity? As Christians, we are called upon to live a life of separation from all that is sinful, doubtful, and displeasing to God. This is brought to us in verse number 13. And it speaks to us of the pathway in which you and I are to tread. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Connected with verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. I want you to notice this word, therefore, links us up with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word us, let us, my friend, if you catch this glimpse of it here, it shows us the picture and refers to Christians that he's talking to, that we likewise should be linked with the person work of the Lord Jesus Christ. These verses mean that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died without the camp for you and me. And we are to tread that same pathway along which Christ traveled. The call to these Jewish Christians was to go forth from Judaism unto Christ. And the call for you and I to leave all that is contrary to God's will for us as Christians comes forth in this message to us this morning. We are to be separated from the formality of a powerless religion. We're living in a day, my friend, when the world is filled with nothing more than a powerless religion. Doesn't do anything for you, doesn't do anything to you. But when you go without the camp, bearing the reproach, carrying the same burden and sacrifice in which Christ carried and bore as he went outside that camp, 2 Corinthians 6:14-17 comes into focus, and it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with infidels? And what agreement has the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple," he said, "of the living God." Hallelujah. "As God has said, I will dwell in them and I'll walk in them and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, if this being the case, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord." And so the call here, as Paul gave it to these Christians, was to leave Judaism and go out to Christ. And the call to you and I as Christians this morning is to go out unto the Lord Jesus Christ, leaving all that is sinful and leaving all that is displeasing unto God. Come out from among them, from the pleasures, he's saying, of a sinful world, which includes our worldly associations, which includes, my friend, not only this, but our worldly fashions, our worldly standards, our worldly speech. For 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and verse 15, he says unto us, "Love not the world, and neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," he said, "is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The call in this hour in which we live, you say, "Pastor, you shouldn't be preaching like that." Friend, I preach what I feel inspired in my heart through the word by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that God is demanding something of you and I today, even as God was demanding of these early Hebrew Christians who learned and knew how to sacrifice their animals upon the altar, and yet they carried their bodies outside the gate to be burned. And when Jesus came and brought the light of this glorious gospel, they threw him outside of the gate as well. But I want you to notice, his call is that we leave all of deception, of a self-centered life. John, the 3rd John, in the 9th verse, he said, "I wrote to the church, but doubter to fees, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receive us not." Are you living this morning for time? Are you living for what you can get out of it right now? And say, "Well, I don't know about tomorrow." Or are you living for eternity? It isn't the first mile, my friend, it's the last mile that's going to count. I want you to notice then further, this life of separation to which we as Christians are called is not only a life of separation from all that is sinful, all that is doubtful, all that is displeasing to God, but it is a life of separation to the Lord Jesus Christ. We get this in verse 13. "Let us go forth therefore to him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Let us go forth unto him. It's not only just being saved from our sins. It's not only just coming out from the world. But my friend, we need to be attached to something. A lot of people get saved in a lot of big revival campaigns that sweep across the country, but they never get saved to anything. Their house is washed and cleaned, and the devil takes his leave for a little while. He comes back. That house is not filled up with anything. The thing that I'm talking to you about this morning, we need to fill our house up with the Lord Jesus Christ, taking full control and preeminence in our life. Hallelujah. Thank God. This speaks of the person in which you and I are to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go forth unto Him. We're not only to leave behind us these things which are displeasing to God, but we're to go forward and to follow and to find fellowship with Christ Himself. God's call to separation is both negative and positive. It is not from, but it is also to. The Christian life is not a life of do's and don'ts and thou shalt not. But it includes these. Don't you ever forget it. We live in a day when they said, well, you should stop talking about don't do this and don't do the other and don't do that and don't do this. But I, friend, when you become a Christian and you find where God is calling for you to walk, it'll include the do's and the don'ts. It's positive and it is also a negative, my friend. Then when we leave this world and the displeasing things that God lays His hand upon, my friend, we are to go to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Unto Him as those who believe on Him, according to John 16:31, according to those who love Him in John 21:17, and as those who belong to Him in Mark 9:41. Thank God. And those who live for Him in 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter and verse 15, it said, and that one died, and He died for us all. Christ's call to us is to follow Me. But where are we to follow Him? Where does He lead us to? The answer is without the camp. In verse number 12, you'll find it in verse number 13, without the camp, without the gate, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Where does He call me? Where does He lead me? And unto Him, if you stay inside the camp, you will not find Him. In the formality today of a powerless religion, when He came in His day, my friend, they cast Him out. And the men and women that found Him went outside the camp. Oh, thank God today, if we could just break outside, hallelujah, the camp, or outside of the deceptions of a self-centered life. A Christian outside of the camp becomes a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He gave it to us in Mark, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14. And He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto Him whom He would. And they came unto Him and had ordained 12 that they should be with Him, and that He might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and power to cast out devils. If you and I, my friend, are going to have the power of deliverance in our life today, we're going to have to go outside of the camp of formality. We're going to have to go outside of the camp of worldliness. We're going to have to go outside of the camp of just saying I'm religious and I belong to church. We've got to go out there, my friend, where He died, where He suffered, and find that touch of His anointing and power and Spirit upon our lives until we feel that call that we're following Him and walking in the path in which He leads us. And then He said He gave them power to heal sickness. Oh, we need that power this morning. Thank God He gave them power over devils. We need that power this morning. But we must go outside the camp and bear His reproach in order to obtain it. Going to cost you something. To live this life of separation involves sacrifice. It involves misunderstanding, suffering, and even complete rejection. You see this in verse 13. They went outside the camp bearing his reproach. This speaks of the persecution that we're to share. During his earthly life and ministry, our Lord was misunderstood. He was ostracized. And finally, he was completely rejected. And he still is misunderstood. He still is rejected by the world. And the word reproach is a very strong one. It is the stigma that refers to the contempt, the abuse, and the shame he bore for you, and the shame that he bore for me, and which we are now to bear for him. And as we follow him and identify ourselves with him, we are faithful and loyal to him. We must not expect to have an easy time. And so many of us today are looking for that easy way. We're looking to have an easy time. I taught the high school class this morning on just about a minute's notice. I did not know even what their lesson text or title was in their quarterly. But in this discussion period, it was discussing the proposition of persecution today. And this little bit of needling that goes on are real dire persecution. And I asked this high school class, what do you think? You think that those boys in Vietnam who are under intense fire, who are right on the battle lines, who are jeopardizing their lives night and day, who recognize the fact that they may be killed instantly just any moment, are those boys that are laying way back, maybe carrying the mail, handling the mail, or away from the front lines and not much jeopardy there of losing their lives, which one do you think would make the best soldier? And they said, the boy that's under the extreme intensive persecution of the battle that maybe lose his life in a minute. And then I said, what about Christians? And this class nearly unanimously agreed that it was when the real persecution began to press the Christian and began to really come down upon him, that he went before God and really began to pray. They agreed that it also would bring a separation of the nominal Christian in a powerless religion, that it would weed out, it would separate those who were just playing church, it would separate those who didn't really mean to go through, those little tag-alongs that are just hanging there. But the real church, they said, would be stronger. The Christians would be stronger because of the persecution. No one of us wants to invite suffering. No one of us wants to invite this persecution, my friend. But listen, I want you to know that we cannot expect to have an easy time if we sell out to God and say, by the grace of God, I'll pick up my cross and I'll follow him. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to be true. It's going to cost you something to be faithful. It's going to cost you something, my friend, to live like Jesus lived upon this earth. It costs him something, and it's going to cost you and I when we go outside the gate, when we start bearing the reproach. He said in Matthew's gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 11 and 12, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. He said, for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, one thing that hurts you perhaps more than anything else is the fact that people falsely accuse you and continually falsely accuse you. But he said, when they do that for my name's sake, thank God, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It's going to cost you something. In John, the 16th chapter, verses 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have a tribulation, he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In Philippians, the 1st chapter, verse 29, he said, for unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to also to suffer for his sake. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse number 12, 12, he's saying, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer a persecution. If you stay inside the camp, everybody's in there. But if you go outside where Jesus went, where Jesus died, and I read to you where they carried him outside the city walls of Jerusalem, he wasn't worthy to die. They said he's a filthy pig. He's not worthy to die inside of this city. That's why, my friend, they put the crosses on Golgotha's brow. They cast him out. And Jesus said, because they cast him out, they're going to cast you and I as Christians out. Oh, when we pull back from that, we say, well, I'm just living for time. I want to get the best out of what I can get right now. But my friend, there's an eternity out there. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and verses 12 to 14. Beloved, he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ, a suffering that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Hallelujah. He is praised. It's going to cost you something, my friend. If you could go on and on. He tells you in Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 22 and 26. He's saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised again on the third day. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find. For what is a man advantage or profit if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and with the holy angels. I think perhaps Dr. Gordon Fee brought this out perhaps clearer than I've heard it in at least a long time. He is saying here, if any man will come after me, let him come and take up his cross daily and follow me. He made one statement that really stuck with me. He said, everybody's going around screaming and hollering and crying about my rights. I got a right to this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the other. I'm going to do the other. My mom's not going to tell me what to do. My daddy's not going to tell me what to do. He said, you haven't got any rights. Where'd you get them in the first place? Who gave them to you? I never thought of it like that. He said, you didn't even have anything to say about being born in this world. Nobody consulted you whether you want to be born or not be born. Did you get it? They didn't ask you anything about it. You didn't have anything to say about it. He said, therefore, you haven't got anything to say now. How about that? He said, that's your mother and your daddy's business, and they've got all of the say. Now, that's good. Didn't get many amens, did it? The Apostle Paul, writing to us in Philippians in the 3rd chapter, verses 7 to 10. But what things were gained to me, those I count for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It is a costly way to follow Jesus, but it is a satisfying way and the way which glorifies him. As we live this separated life, we're to keep our heavenly home in view. And every man that has this hope within himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. We get this in verse number 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Praise God. This speaks of the prospect which we are to keep before us, which I feel that we as Christians as a whole have lost that vision and that view.
Yes, we have.
Of that wonderful, great exhilaration of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and that new heaven and that new earth, thank God. Oh, the amplified New Testament rendering is, for here we have no permanent city, but we are looking for one which is to come, or better still, which is coming. Everything down here is going to pass away, but we are looking, thank God, for a new environment. Altogether, this is why we live like pilgrims, and we are not to get settled down here in as if this was our permanent home. I'll tell you, when you talk to most of us as Christians, you think we're going to live here upon this earth forever. But old Abraham moved in tents, amen, not desiring to get settled down. Thank God, for he looked for a city which had a ruler, hallelujah, whose builder and maker was God, a city that had foundations. He said, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger, I'm just walking through this land for a little season. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. And we're to be like Abraham. This pilgrim progress through this world has its goal. Thank God it has a home elsewhere. He's looking for a city. Thank God that is built four square. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. That heavenly home. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? He said in John, the 14th chapter, the first three verses, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Philippians 3 and 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look up for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, in the 2nd chapter and the 11th verse, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and as pilgrims walking through this world, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moss and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures, hallelujah, in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are we living this morning for time and eternity? Is our treasure down here, or is it on the golden shores of sweet deliverance? Are we living with the anticipated hope that the rapture shall break, the trumpet shall sound? Thank God we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, he said, we're living. Thank God we have no continuing city. We have no continuing home, he said, but we seek one that is to come. Hallelujah. Oh, this morning the question is to my heart and your heart, if we begin to live for time, we settle down, we anchor down, and we lose the vision, and the faith becomes dim.
Yes.
Satan attacks us. But if we're living with eternity in view this morning, glory to God, I wonder what would happen right now if the trumpet would sound. I wonder right now what would happen if Jesus said, it's enough. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Thank God, thank God, thank God. This is the hope. Hallelujah. I heard Billy Graham preaching the other night on channel number 5. And every time I've heard him, the last 3 or 4 times, it's what he's preaching about.
Yes.
The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've seen people file out of that great stadium, that football stadium, down around that altar just by the swarms of them that wanted to accept Christ as their personal Savior. It's still the message of the hour. My friend, if you and I are living that separated life, if you and I are walking where God wants us to walk this morning, there's a light burning within our soul in the midst of all of this darkness. If you and I are walking in the Spirit this morning and not after the lust of the flesh, there's a light burning, thank God, in our soul. Brother, we're not lost. We know where we're going. Hallelujah. We know why and what, wherefore, and all about. Thank God. You say, well, the political situation is so black and so bleak. I don't know which way to turn. That may be true. But I'll tell you one thing. If I didn't have any more to worry about than that, I wouldn't have any worries. You say, you're not worrying about it. I'm leaving that in God's hand. I'm worrying about one thing. Brother, am I ready? Have I made the preparation? Am I looking for Jesus? Am I waiting, thank God, for my permanent home? Hallelujah. To move upon the scene. It'll take care of all the political situations. It'll take care of all the bombs. It'll take care of all the wars. It'll take care of all the troubles. It'll take care of all the heartaches. It'll do away with all the sorrows. It'll brush every tear, thank God, from my eye. Hallelujah. I won't have to worry, my friends, about Social Security or some relief program, thank God. For I'll be, hallelujah, with the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of His glory. He said, you're a stranger and a pilgrim. You can't afford, listen to me, Christian, this morning, to get settled down. You can't afford to get tied, my friend, to some things here that you couldn't turn loose of in a moment's notice. But that trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and you and I are going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling. That's what he's telling that church at the Hebrew. Well, we're to live in the light of this glorious prospect. And as we do so, and only as we do so, shall we gain the true sense of values of being a Christian. It's very important to notice that although we're heavenly people, we have a heavenly home, this does not mean that we have no responsibilities while we're traveling as pilgrims through this world. And some people said, Pastor, why do you want to spend money building a new church for? The Lord's going to come. I don't know just when He's coming. And you don't either. And He said for us to occupy and keep busy. Just because He's coming, because we're heavenly people, we got a heavenly home to go to, it's no sign as we travel through this land as pilgrims that we don't have a responsibility laying upon us. Amen. And He gave us the command to occupy until He comes. And what little money that I put in this new church, I'm not going to worry about it when the trumpet sounds. I'll give the Antichrist a free deed to mine. He can have it. Or Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody, they can have it. They're going to live down here. I don't want to live here. What he's saying to us, we should not be so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly use to the kingdom of God. You get this in verse 15 and 16? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Did you get that? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. We come in the house of God and said, well, you know, I kind of have been feeling a little flu-y this week. They said, everybody, let's praise God. And we can't get our hand in it. We have no praise. He said, to sacrifice one.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Just sacrifice one then. Hallelujah. What would happen if every one of us come back in here tonight and just all of us begin to sacrifice a praise unto God? I guarantee you wouldn't have no preaching in this church. You wouldn't have no preaching. Hallelujah. This speaks of the privileges we are to enjoy. It's of a twofold privilege of sacrificial service, which reaches up toward God and out towards man. If you notice what he said, this is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased.
Hallelujah.
And when you please God Oh, something's going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Luke, the 10th chapter, and verse 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. We're to offer sacrifice of worship unto God. Psalms 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Day by day, we're to offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Not only this, but we're to offer the sacrifice of service to man. This is indicated to you in verse 16 in the references to the kind and loving actions which we take toward mankind. That spirit that has been totally subdued and yielded. And I thought again of what Dr. Fee said as I worked on this message. He said, when they slap you on one cheek, will you turn the other one, or what will you do? Amen? Amen. But when Christ has completely dominated that life, he said, you just turn the other way. Amen? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And they'd come and ask him, Lord, when did we see you in prison and we visit you? When did we see you sick and we came and prayed for you? When did we see you hungry and we fed you? When did we see you naked and we clothed you? He said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So it's a sacrifice of praise unto God, a sacrifice of service unto mankind. One reaches out toward God, the other reaches out toward mankind. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us ask ourselves the question then this morning. Are we living for time or eternity? Our Father, we thank you for the joys of the Lord today. We praise you for the peace of God that passes all understanding in our lives. And for the men and women that need a touch of God's supernatural in lives here today. Will the presence of Christ's power fill every one of our hearts and lives? Thank God, and we'll go outside. Hallelujah. Outside of a powerless religion. Outside unto Jesus, the mediator between God and man, to the great sacrifice that he made to redeem us from our sin, bearing the reproach. Lord, thank God in the persecution. May we as Christians praise God and shout on. Hallelujah. With our sacrifice of praise unto God and with our sacrifice of service unto man. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with us all together? And as the choir sings, we open the altar. And will you come this morning if there's a special need in your heart and join with us around the altars in the prayer room? There's plenty of room for you to fill up your place here and pray with us and believe God with us this morning.